Let's turn our Bibles to the epistle of James, chapter 1. We will read verse 27, which is the last verse of that chapter. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Religion is understood in different ways by different people. To some, it is a set of ceremonies or some rites that they perform. Recently, I was thinking about this word religion, and I was moved to think about it because of a young adult who came to see me with his uncle to find out about Christian religion. He has been to a church and attended the church service for a considerable time, but he was put off by the things that he has seen within the church. They declare the name of Christ and use religion as a place of entertainment. And the pastors were more concerned about raising money for their big projects. And this man was very upset about the things that have been going on, and he found no religiosity, because in his mind religion means something that is pure, charitable, something that is godly and not worldly. It's not about materialism, it is about godliness. But he couldn't figure that out in that church, so he walked out from the church. And he started to search again, where can he find true religion? His search has brought him to a Buddhist master. And he sat with that Buddhist master, and he has been pursuing that form of Buddhist religion. There are different kinds of Buddhist practices today. And under that particular master, he was searching for truth. And he was told Christianity is one way in which you can find God. Nothing wrong about Christianity, but Christianity is not the only religion. And he started to seek everywhere. And he told me that religion, as far as he is concerned, is man looking for God. It's a man's search for God. And I said, that is not true. That is not what the Bible says. He said, are you sure? I said, yes. Then what is religion? I said, it is God seeking for man. What is religion? Is it man trying to define what religion is, or what man trying to describe about God? Or is it what God has revealed so that man might know him as their God and Savior? If you were to look at our text, James 1:27, it begins this way: pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Those introductory words of verse 27 tells you there is such a thing called pure religion. It is undefiled. And now, who says so? How do we know that it is surely the pure religion? Because it says this way, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Man cannot determine what is pure. Because as the scripture says, our minds are already corrupt with sin. It is desperately wicked. It is full of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we are also told in Romans 3 that there is not one that seeketh after God. No, not one. So man is absolutely incapacitated by the sin that is present within. He can have a concept of religion, but that concept will be a distorted view of what religion is. If anyone has to know how to come in touch with God, how to be in close relationship with God, he has to receive it from God. God alone is holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He alone is pure, untouched by sin. He is light, and there is no sin in him. That holy God has revealed to us in his word that which is pure. Only God can reveal to us what is pure. And when God reveals to us that which is pure, it can be seen as undefiled. There is no corruption of any sort. He makes sure it is purer than the purest gold that you have ever seen. It is whiter than the white snow that you hold in your hand. There is nothing like that. The pure and undefiled religion before God. In my prayer, I cited James 1:17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. The word light in the Bible is a reference to the holiness of God. There is no darkness in him. He is light, pure light. And everything that comes from the Father of light is good and perfect. James already said it in verse 17. And now when he comes to the end of that chapter, he emphasizes it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Before God and the Father. God is referred to as the Father because He is the source of all things. He is the Creator. And He is the Father of light. All good things, all pure and bright things cometh from Him. He is today in the business of sending His purity. It is His holiness, His pure wisdom to us who is in need of Him. He is a Father unto all those who would trust Him. Today, dear friends, you have not come into this church to form a religion. You did not come here to establish a religion. You did not come here to vote for a religion. Christianity is not a religion by vote. It's not democratically chosen. Even if the whole world would reject Christianity, it shall remain to be the only pure and undefiled religion because it cometh from God. Even if you all walk out of this church saying that I deny the Lord Jesus, Yet, let me tell you, it shall be the only religion, and you shall die without a religion. Our concern is always this. Am I right with God? How can I be right with God? Have I received the pure religion? Unfortunately, I must say this, that in a lot of our churches, people have worked out a concept about religion, and they feel very satisfied when that concept that they have about religion in the mind is, in a way, satisfactorily met with. In other words, they come to church with the thinking that church is all about coming at 10:30 to the place where they congregate and sing a few songs, close eyes when the pastor prays, put some money into the offering bag, listen to 45 minutes to 1 hour to the preaching, and say amen and sing threefold amen and go home. And if we have time, we stick around and talk to a few people and smile. And I feel good about it. And maybe we will see again next week if we got time. And a lot of people have their own idea about religion. It is not about what you feel. It's about what God wants you to know. And therefore, I would challenge you at the very beginning of this message that you will sit there today and see this. And ask yourself that, have I understood what is pure religion is? Have I received that religion that is pure before God the Father? Dear friends, pure and undefiled religion before God is preached to us, first of all, by God Himself. It's a message that He sent to us through His prophets, and in the last days through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told in the following section of verse 27 that pure religion is constituted of two things. I will elaborate that later on, but just quickly take note of those two things. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And then secondly, to keep himself unspotted from the world. We were once completely separated from God. We were without God, strangers to God, enemies of God, alienated from God's covenants. We were totally lost like orphans. We were trying to make God for ourselves. Some of us, together with our parents, followed the traditions of man. We worshiped trees. We worshiped idols. We worshiped mountains. Or we said, I can't find God. I'm tired of the religion. We followed this set of principle and that set of principle, and we were like orphans wandering around, wondering, where will I have a real understanding of God? But He came down seeking for us, to visit us. True religion is seen in the fact that God has come to this world. He has dwelt among us, but His own has not received. That's the dangerous situation. The Lord has come. Soon we will be celebrating Christmas. And we will be rejoicing in the fact that we are no more fatherless. As far as true religion is concerned, we have found the Creator. We have found our Savior because He has come down to this world. He has visited us in our affliction. He has preached the gospel. He has set us free. If you want to know pure religion, you must look to God and what He has prepared for us. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you were to follow Him, because He said, follow me, then you will know what pure and undefiled religion is. You can't have pure and undefiled religion by thinking about it on your own. It is not the product of a brilliant mind. It is not a summary presentation of all the thoughts of the philosophers of the world. It is God's gift to us. It is the perfect gift from the Father of light. And He shall never change, as James said in 1:17, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never changes. He is eternal, and He is eternally merciful, loving, kind, and He is eternally powerful, and He is always able to save us. And we don't have to worry about the purity of Christian faith, the religion that God has given to us. So, I want you to clearly keep this point in your mind. Purity of religion is founded upon the fact that God gives it to us. It comes from God. It's not based on people's opinion. If it is based on people's opinion, everybody will have his own opinion. What you like, I may hate. What I like, you may hate. And we may have difference of opinion. We can never come to a conclusion as to what is right. And that's why we have many religions in the world. Everybody is trying to create their own ideas and philosophies. And sometimes, unfortunately, happens within the church as well. And I wouldn't be surprised that some of us here may have our own ideas about what Christianity should be. But I'm not interested in what you think about Christianity. I think we all should be interested in one thing, what God thinks of religion. And that alone will be pure and undefiled. And then he says in verse 27, two things about this pure and undefiled religion. Firstly, he says it is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That is the first expression of pure religion. In other words, it is charity. It is love. It is compassion. It is benevolence. Take note, it says to visit the fatherless and widows. Now, who are these two groups of people? Well, we will say they are the most unfortunate group of people on earth. Think of children without parents. How unfortunate is that life? Nobody to give them tender care. Nobody to provide. Fatherless. Widows. How pathetic is their condition? But again, I want to tell you, though these two groups of people who are mentioned by James here are some of the most unfortunate people on earth. Yet not all those who are orphans are really orphans indeed. And not all widows are widows indeed. There is a group of people whom Paul referred to as widows indeed. You know what? Why he says so? Because some widows are rich widows. They don't have that many problems. Some widows are widows after living a long life, after bringing up their children. They became widows in their advanced years. But there are those who become widows when they are very young, with little children in their hands, having nothing to count on, and no one to count on. Their life can be full of misery. And that's why here James says, take a closer look at that verse, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In their affliction. In other words, the love of God that God has shown to us through Jesus Christ will not make us blind toward those who are in affliction. Because the love that came from God, that pure love, the undefiled love, searcheth out those who are in dire need. And that love of God that reached us in our miserable condition teaches us to go and look for those who are in affliction. And it says it is to visit. And I must say a word about that verb, visit. It's not a casual visit. Is it visit in their affliction? It's a deliberate effort to reach out to those who are in trouble and minister to their needs. That's why it is said it is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. We who live in Singapore probably do not understand the depth of this admonition or this exhortation here. Though the neighboring countries of Singapore have been battered by natural calamities over the past few years, even this year, we have been quite safe here. Our parents are still alive, right, children? Our husbands are still around. A month ago, when I was watching the TV news on the about the flood in Philippines, I saw some horrifying scenes. How houses were taken away by the flood. And I saw about 10 or 12 people struggling to stay afloat in water. The water was gushing down. Suddenly they all got into a current and it swept them under a bridge. And I saw them going under, but when the camera showed the other side of the bridge, there was only one man. The rest all gone. And I was wondering how many families became fatherless and how many women became widows that day. Their sorrows are unthinkable. It's terrible. But in Singapore, by God's grace alone, we have not plunged into such horrible disasters. But we cannot say it will not come our way. But I want to tell you something else. There is something else that would make children fatherless and women like widows. It is the sensual life of men and women. Irresponsible, immoral life. Do you know many teenage girls become pregnant? Thousands and thousands of them, year after year. And then they are forced sometimes to abort the babies. And those men walk out on those poor girls. And they become depressed and disappointed. Their life becomes worse than that of widows. It happens in Singapore, and the number is ever on the rise. And from my experience, I want to tell you, the needs of such a generation is daunting. It is beyond any man can ever imagine. The troubles that the church is facing today is much worse than you ever think. It is worse than natural calamities. The moral disaster that comes like a flood and takes our younger people into great and horrible sinful lifestyle is going to create a society that will look like fatherless. And there is only one thing that can change their broken heart. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one thing that can give them peace. That's the gospel of peace. There is only one thing that can cheer their heart. It is the glad tidings of good things. The church has a big job to do. We got to search out, where are these people in our society? Please do not say, just because we have a society that is so well-nurtured and economically sound, everything is going on well here. No, that's not the case. We need young men and young women from this church who is being so filled with the love of God, searching for these suffering folks in our society to bring the gospel to them. It is a special calling. It is more than having a gospel rally just before Christmas. I'm not bad-mouthing that. Praise God for the gospel rally you planned. Please continue to have them. But it is more than that. It is going out of our church looking for the trouble for those who are caught in such horrible situation. It is a very difficult work. In a way, by God's grace, I was brought to such a ministry. Many of you are aware of Gethsemane Care Ministry, which is a ministry toward the former addicts and convicts. These are men, macho-looking men, with tattoos all over the body, but their lives are broken. They are worse than babies, as far as life is concerned. If they are left to their own, they will destroy themselves and others around them. Prisons cannot change them. They have been in and out of prison for so many times. Those things don't change them. We are now faced with a problem. Last week we received a letter from URA saying that we must cease all activity immediately in the place that we run this ministry. Somebody has written a complaint against it. Whoever is this righteous person, I do not know. The complaint is that we do run a halfway house. Now, of course, we understand the rules and regulations. And I called the URA officer in charge and talked to him for a while. And I said, look, we have been working for more than 4 years. Through our ministry, many have been transformed to live a clean life. And they have become a great blessing. And some of them have become preachers. And they are living a good life. And the gospel has changed them. If you ask them to cease from this work, where will these people go? Oh, you must find a different place. Then I said, can you show us a different place? Well, you must talk to our customer service. I said, look, I know the kind of places you have. It's very expensive. We cannot afford. Please talk to your officer and give us some leeway to go on. And the neighbors around that place came together and said, oh, we will support you. Don't worry. We will write to you, RA. There's no reason for you to move. We are happy with you. You're friendly. Now, it's a big struggle. And my mind is thinking, Lord, how am I going to carry on with this work? If we really have to stop this because legally it doesn't work, now how can we reach out to these people? It is a very difficult situation. There are hundreds or even thousands like them who need the gospel. And I can tell you, without any shame or doubt, that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring about complete transformation for these people. It is not a set of program that we work out for them. But the love of Jesus, the life-changing work of the Holy Spirit, we preach to them day after day, and they are transformed. There are hundreds like that, or even thousands, even in Singapore. It would mean that some of us would have to give up our comfortable seats and searching for these people and reaching out to them. It's a huge work. I know the pastor of this church, whom the Lord has taken home, was a man who always moved with compassion. Even for his charitable effort, his own church once badmouthed him. They make him look like an illegal, unlawful person. That's how the world is. It is not an easy ministry to do. Oh, I ask you, dear friends, that your eyes will be opened. I ask you, my friends, that your ears will be open. There are many out there still in affliction. It is not just about giving money, but it is going with the pure religion, the undefiled religion. It is about preaching the gospel. When the gospel changes the hearts of men, the society also gets reformed. When the gospel cleans up the hearts of men, our streets also get cleansed. Pure and undefiled religion is a powerful religion. It doesn't corrupt anyone, but it makes everyone pure when they come into it. And my dear friends, I plead with you this morning that you will take another look at the gospel that you believe. And then you will see its power. The power that comes out of its purity. Its ability to make a person pure. And think of its vast impact. Think of what it can do for our families and for our society. Take the name of Jesus and move. Let the afflicted see that there is good news. There is a gospel of good things. And secondly, James says, this pure and undefiled religion is expressed in the fact that those who have received it will keep themselves unspotted from the world. It will keep themselves unspotted from the world. Now that is quite a statement. If I were to tell you, if you are a true follower of Christ, you cannot be a follower of the world. You understand that? If I were to tell you, godliness and worldliness are not bedfellows, you understand that? And yet, many of us have accepted worldliness into our life. And we are quite comfortable with our worldly mindset, worldly lifestyle. We are told here that we are to keep ourselves from being spotted by the world. In other words, we are not even to be stained. Many years ago, when I was a student in Firestone Bible College, I took a walk from 9A Gilstead Road, where the college is, to Newton MRT station. And we always take the shortcut after crossing the Dunyan Road, and you have empty land, which I think many of you are familiar with. Many of you have walked along that path. And there was, right now they have a concrete footpath. Before that, it was not concrete. It was just a normal footpath. And when the rain comes, there will be a lot of mud along that path. One day, somebody has put some wooden planks over this mud so people can walk well. I was dressed well. I was going to preach somewhere. And I came to that place where there was water and mud, and I look at the wooden planks there. I said, okay, looks good. Many people have already walked, so I can also quite safely walk. And I put my first step on the first plank. Everything was quite all right. I put my second step. It was a bit shaky. The plank was moving this way and that way, but I managed to steady myself. I said, well, two more steps, I will be over this. I put my next step. Oh, the plank suddenly tilted. Guess what? Oh, the muddy water started to splash. And it fell on my clean shirt. I look at it. I say, oh, no. I'm stained. I can't go this way to preach. And I went back and changed. When I came back, I said, I'm not going to walk that way. I'd rather go the long way. So I went through the main road, the footpath along the main road, and went to the MRT station. The days are evil, Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5. We've got to be very careful how we walk. Do you know, dear friends, when we get stained by the world, we fail to live out our religion. That's what it is. When you start to entertain yourself the things of the world, the defiling shows, corrupt and filthy entertainments of the world, it becomes very difficult for us to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things have a very degenerating power. It has a very horrifying and distracting effect on us. Worldliness is something that will keep us away from the Lord. It will teach us to have a kind of religion, but it will not accept the power of godliness to work in you. That's why Paul said, In the last days there will be many who will have a form of godliness and yet denying the power thereof. And I have seen this again and again. Let me speak a little bit more in a practical way. In most churches, if the pastor would preach an expository sermon, faithfully explaining the meaning, people will be happy, no problem. The moment the pastor takes the truth and apply into the lives of the people and say, this kind of lifestyle is wrong, you know what you will see? People will walk out. I am faced with a dilemma as a pastor, even in my church. Well, when I come here, I can speak bad about my church, right? No, I'm just kidding. People have asked me, people from other churches have asked me, Pastor Koshy, you know, when you come to our churches and you preach, you sound very comforting. You sound very encouraging, very moving. But I came to your church and listened to you. Oh, it's very frightening. And people have often said that to me. In the church, you are like terrorizing. Why is it so? I said, it is my own sheep. The Lord has given them to me to take care of them. When I see something wrong, I cannot keep quiet. So sometimes I call myself barking dog. And so somebody said to me recently in an email, you may bark, but it is not too difficult to ignore a dog who barks all the time. What can I say? If you ignore the barking dog, you are in trouble. It's not difficult to ignore a barking dog. But it can be trouble when that dog is doing the work faithfully. If you ignore it, you are in trouble. Nobody liked to hear Jeremiah when he preached. Nobody liked to hear Isaiah when he preached. Nobody liked to hear Jesus or John the Baptist when they clearly exposed the sin. They were all angry. I know my people. I know where they go wrong. I know how they get spotted by the world. I know how they get stained by the world. When I address that, they just don't like it. Why must you be so strict? Everybody is like that. Why can't we be like that? Go ahead. If I'm the pastor of this church, I'm not asking you to make me one. I don't want. I have a church to take care of. But if I am here, I think I will be moved to tell you these are the sins. If I were to tell a bunch of girls who are immodestly dressed that you got to change if you're a true Christian, you can't come into the church and become a temptation, they will look at me with a weird look. If I were to tell the choir that comes up here, please, ladies who are singing in the choir, please don't wear a mini skirt and come up the stage. Make sure your skirt is below the knee so you will not be a temptation up here. All those girls will be very angry with me that day. Maybe that's the last time they're going to sing. When once I said this to a group of young ladies in my church, one of the mothers who was there went about telling the rest, Pastor Koshy wants all our girls to wear Victorian style dresses. Now, I never said that. She really wanted to make me look very bad. Now I want you to tell me, how would Jesus feel about this? How would Paul would feel about this? Are we spotted by the world? When the world has a fashion, when some Hollywood stars or some of those fashion guys in the world, when they comb their hair high up like a mountain, the boys in the church also go that way. Are they spotted by the world or what? Maybe they will never invite me for youth fellowship, but that's fine. When the hairdresser asks you, would you like red dye or blue dye? Oh, yeah, also can. But not all, just a few strands here and a few here. Where do you get this idea from? The world. Everybody is after the world. When we stand before the mirror, the first thing we ask, do I look like the rest of the world? That's what it is. You don't look into the mirror and ask, do I look godly? Do I look modest? Do I look like one who knows Jesus? Do I look like one who walks with Christ? That's the last thing anybody thinks. Pure religion and undefiled before God is this: to keep himself unspotted by the world. Let me tell you something. It is very common that before a young couple gets married, that they have already engaged in premarital sex. It is very common in Singapore and in Singapore churches. Just because you have not got pregnant, it doesn't mean it's acceptable. How do they get into such horrible stages? Because they follow the world's way of courtship. They do what the world will do. The boys and the girls who are in the world, who do not believe in Christ, who follow the world's lifestyle, are the fashion setters for Christians. I want to ask you, why would you allow the world to take control of your mind and your passions? If I were to bring out a few more examples, I think you will start walking. And I leave the rest to you to think. Today there are pastors who would encourage anyone to come in and live anyhow they want. And pastors themselves are epitome of worldliness. They look like fashion setters. They talk the language of the world. The jesters are like the rap musicians of the world. Cool, cool, chill, chill. They pace up and down the stage to please a worldly mind set that is in the heart of every person in the crowd. They welcome the world into the church to give them the world. And just because we are True Life Bible Presbyterian Church or Gethsemane Bible Presbyterian Church or Calvary Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church, it doesn't mean we are not spotted by the world. Our pastors may be preaching against us, but we may be full of the world. How can you think that you are at peace with your God? When you sing the songs of the world, when you put all kinds of sensual and filthy lyrics into your mind and sing and dance with it, You think your Savior is pleased? Do you think you are serving the kingdom of God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. His righteousness. Not the righteousness you draw out. My dear friends, our churches can be many times more effective in our gospel effort, in lifting the name of Jesus, if we will be characterized by charity and purity. Now, do not separate these two things. Some people talk about religion as charity without purity. And some people talk about purity without charity. It cannot be so. Jesus loved us that we may be taken out of our sins and be made pure. We show love and compassion that our brothers and sisters may be made pure. Otherwise, it will not be a purifying love. It will be a corrupting, lustful affection. Charity and purity are the two wonderful expressions of all those who have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May your life be characterized by charity and purity, so that the Lord might use you mightily to lift His glorious name. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to examine our thoughts, our ideologies, and our passions. Please teach us to ask, what sets the trend in our life? Who leads us the way we walk? Who teaches us to dress the way we dress? Who teaches us to sing the songs that we sing? Who help us to fashion ourselves? Oh Lord, if we have entertained a vain religion that is devoid of pure love of our Savior, we ask that you would forgive us. We quickly confess, many times we have walked after the world. But the Bible clearly tells us that this world and the things in the world are not things that would please Thee. Oh Lord, we pray that we will walk away from every form of worldliness. Because the Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We also remember the words of John, who said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father and is of the world. O Lord, help us not to follow after this world that passeth away and the lust thereof, but to do the will of God which abideth forever. And make every person who has heard Thy word this day to yield his heart to Thee, to love one another as Christ loved us, to be pure as our Father in heaven is pure. Please help us, we pray. We humbly seek your help. In Jesus' name, Amen.